the peers. That's how I think of planning. It has to be sufficiently thoughtful and solid to get the work up and standing straight, but it cannot take over as you toil away on the interior guts of a piece. Transforming your ideas rarely goes according to plan. This, to me, is the most interesting paradox of creativity. In order to be habitually creative, you have to know how to prepare to be creative. But good planning alone won't make your efforts successful. It's only after you let go of your plans that you can breathe life into your efforts. When I was making Surfer at the River Styx, I had trouble coming up with an ending. I was yearning for something majestic, and I wasn't getting it. Then one day in rehearsal, I saw it. I wanted all four men in the company on stage near the end of the ballet, and I had them partnering one of the women. Four men, one woman. This is not usually done. Perhaps something unusual can happen with that combination. They were holding her low off the ground, and as she was circling around their arms and bodies in a very risky form of aerial partnering, I could see her gradually but organically snaking her way up their bodies. She just kept evolving and moving higher as the group of four men walked slowly toward the right side of the stage. And then it hit me. Oh my God, what if they lifted her as high as possible, holding her legs in a perfect split? Lit properly, that is, theatrically, she'd be floating in air. That's the ending. It was a stroke of luck, but I was prepared to accept it for the simple reason that I needed an ending. At that moment, I felt blessed because it sent the piece into a sphere where the entire dance was suddenly coherent. I certainly hadn't planned it. It was a gift. But I also felt I'd earned it. Your creative endeavors can never be thoroughly mapped out ahead of time. You have to allow for the suddenly altered landscape, the change in plan, the accidental spark. And you have to see it as a stroke of luck rather than a disturbance of your perfect scheme. Habitually creative people are, in E.B. White's phrase, prepared to be lucky. The key words here are prepared and lucky. They're inseparable. You don't get lucky without preparation, and there's no sense in being prepared if you're not open to the possibility of a glorious accident. The sports entrepreneur Mark McCormick, whose career began with three enormous consecutive strokes of luck, golf legends Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, and Jack Nicklaus were his first three clients, once said, "Yes, I admit I was lucky, but I saw it and I was ready for it." Whereas many people wouldn't know a stroke of luck if it bit them on the nose. Some people resent the idea of luck. Accepting the role of chance in our lives suggests that our creations and triumphs are not entirely our own, and that in some way we're undeserving of our success. I say, get over it. This is how the world works. In creative endeavors, luck is a skill. The discovery of vulcanized rubber is the perfect example of the power of luck. Charles Goodyear, after years of experimentation, walks into a general store in 1839, accidentally spills his concoction of gum and sulfur onto a sizzling potbelly stove, and discovers that instead of melting like molasses, the compound chars like leather, leaving a dry, springy material that keeps its flexibility at almost any temperature. Goodyear called the process vulcanization, and almost every use of rubber depends on it. It is one of the most celebrated accidents in industrial science. Goodyear, of course, didn't see it that way, and I side with Goodyear. He was active in his pursuit of adorable rubber, not passive. He was always examining and therefore always open to luck. Also, while the accident could have happened to anybody at any time, It took a person with an open mind to recognize the importance of what took place on that stove. And it took knowledge and skill to analyze it and repeat it in the laboratory. The hot stove incident held meaning, said Goodyear, only for the person whose mind was prepared to draw an inference. The one who had applied himself most perseveringly to the subject. Gary Player put this principle succinctly. The more I practice, the luckier I get. Being prepared for luck is like getting a voice message that tells you something good may happen to you between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. today. Make sure you're at your desk, or in your studio or office, or at your laboratory bench, working. And keep your eyes open for it. Of course, you have to be present in the room to recognize the stroke of luck. Being in the room is a concomitant of Goodyear's perseverance. The more you are in the room working, experimenting, banging away at your objective, the more luck has a chance of biting you on the nose. Woody Allen said that 80% of success in show business is showing up. It's the same with luck. 80% of it is showing up to see it. My dancers can be doing the most marvelous things in the studio, but if I'm not there to witness it, it may as well be the proverbial tree falling in the forest. Never happened. Advertising wizard Phil Dusenberry established his career as a creative director by landing the General Electric account. GE was looking to consolidate all its advertising at one shop, and they wanted a corporate slogan that unified the message. On the day before his presentation to the GE executives, Dusenberry didn't feel the slogan was quite right. He had the concept, "We make the things that make life good," or something like that, but he didn't feel it gelled. So he laid out the various slogans and started rearranging the words in much the same fashion as I play with my coins. Eventually, the words fell into place and spelled out, "We bring good things to life." Dusenberry knew this was the winner the moment he saw it. Was this luck or accident? Would anyone else have recognized the perfect slogan? Would anyone else have bothered to play with the words? Dusenberry was prepared, he was persevering in the room, and he was able to see it. It's tempting to try to rein in the unruliness of the creative process, especially at the start. Planning lets you impose order on the chaotic process.